Welcome to the December 10th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, It's Your Life, or Is It? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
It's good to see everyone this morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here, and we are so delighted that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. We want to find out everyone who is here, so we have a way of doing that. On the inside aisle of every pew, there is a pew pad, a worship registration pad. We invite everybody in attendance this morning to fill that out. Members, we ask that you just write your name, check the appropriate boxes, and send that on down. And guests, we invite you to fill out all the information so that we can get the contact information to contact you. We hope that you will do this for us and send it down so that everybody has the opportunity to sign that and then send it back to where it started so our ushers can get those a little bit later at the end of the service. Reminder to our children today, we are having children's celebration. We'll be leaving during hymn number 93. That's the second hymn today. Hymn number 93, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. If you guys would just follow me right out these doors to Smith Hall, where our puppet team will be leading us in children's celebration this morning. We do have our missions offering total as of this morning. It is total $8,682.10. So we are well on our way to meeting our goal. Reminder to this afternoon's schedule, we will have a family ministry team committee meeting at 4 o'clock in the Adult 3 area. So members of our preschool, our children, and our family enrichment committees are invited to come to that. Youth choir will rehearse from 4:30 until 5:30. Then there will be a special program from 6 until 7, the channels and the handbells. Tonight we'll be providing the special music from 6 until 7. 7 o'clock is our live contemporary service. Busy afternoon of several wonderful things, opportunities for you to be involved with, and so we hope that you come and be a part of that. Big thank you to all the people who provided exam pack goodies. Our college students are very grateful. They weren't grateful to see me. They were grateful to see what I was bringing. And so we are thankful for all the people that provided cookies and snacks and very grateful for that. Regular schedule this Wednesday. Check your bulletin for that. And then one final note about our youth reindeer hunt. That will be next Saturday from 5:30 until 9. So that's next Saturday for our youth reindeer hunt. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We know that you've already given us your information on the pew pads. We would like to give something back to you to tell you a little bit about College Park Baptist Church. We have our ushers who are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest this morning, we ask you just lift your hand. Our ushers will give you a packet of information. This packet of information has been designed just to tell you a little bit about us, things that are going on in the life of our church. There's a newsletter that tells you current information as well as past things that we do on a regular basis. And we hope that this packet will provide you more information about our ministries at College Park. It is the second Sunday of Advent. And as our custom, we have families from our congregation who come and read our Advent scripture and light our Advent wreath. And we invite Rita and Tyler Lee to come forward now for our scripture reading.
This morning, I'll be reading from Isaiah 11, 1 through 6. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shout. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploded, the earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In the day of the wolf and lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all.
And from the New Testament, I will be reading 2 Ephesians 14 through 18. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two one and has destroyed the barriers, the dividing walls of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the laws and its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostilities. He came and preached peace to who were afar apart, away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Reed and Tyler. In your bulletin, you will find a responsive reading, our invitation to share and worship. And this is our way of joining our voices together as we begin our time of worship. Would you stand for an invitation to share and worship? I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Show us your unfailing love, O God, our Savior.
And grant us your salvation.
Listen to what the Lord our God says. The Lord will indeed give what is good.
Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
May the Lord make his holy face to shine upon us in the time of Advent worship. May we see God's face and so know peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Father, on this Sunday, as we continue in the season of Advent, we are preparing the way to celebrate your birth. In this season, we often find ourselves distracted by many other things. All the shopping and the cleaning and the cooking and the preparing our homes for loved ones to come. And school is winding down and all the things that are going on there that are due. Work seems to get busy. December is a busy time. Father, we recognize on this day that we need the peace of Christ to be in our hearts and to remind us that we are to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Help us on this day to have a sense of peace in this busy time. Remind us again why we celebrate. And hear our worship. Hear our thanks. And may everything that's done in this place be done to glorify your name and your name alone. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
May we share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. As we've already heard from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, by Rudy and Tyler, we'll continue first in the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, the first 4 verses. "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in the former years. And also from the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. As we enter into a time of prayer, I ask that you keep in your hearts and minds and thoughts and prayers the Shermer family, who's had a difficult week. And Dillard is at hospice right now, and Myrtle and his three children are with him as they experience some of his last moments here, because his time on earth is short, but thankfully he's heading to a better place. Please keep the Shermers in your prayers. May we pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you with humble hearts and a spirit of thanksgiving in this wonderful time of year for all the blessings you've given us. Lord, last week our children led us in a worship service that certainly affirmed and encouraged us and gave us the hope on the first Sunday of Advent. Lord, today as we focus on peace, and we see the second Advent candle lit, Lord, let us think about the kind of peace that Jesus Christ brought into this world, the kind of peace that Jesus preached. We've heard in the scriptures already in this worship service about that kind of peace. Lord, in this season of Advent and in our lives, help us to bring that peace to others. Help us to bring that kind of peace to those who don't yet know you, to be ministers of your gospel in the name of peace. Lord, help us to bring peace to those whose lives don't have it right now, whether through physical infirmity or different difficulties and challenges. Things are not going well and they don't experience that kind of peace. Lord, help us to bring that to them. Lord, we do realize that it's hard to minister in peace and to bring peace if we don't have it ourselves. And Lord, what a mistake it would be if we continued on in this Christmas season amid all the hustle and bustle and all the exciting things this season and overlooked the challenge to find peace in our own lives, peace through a relationship with you, the kind of peace that only you can give us. Lord, help us to focus on you each and every day, to experience peace in the quiet moments of our lives and experience peace in the busy moments of our lives when all things seem to be chaotic around us, to know that you are in our hearts and in our minds, and that you are there when we need you. Just as we can pray to you now, Lord, we thank you for the ability to come to you at all times, and that gift of peace that you share with us, with others around us, our brothers and sisters and families, in this world that needs peace so much. Lord, help our minds and our thoughts to be focused on peace, to be focused on you this Advent season. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for this season when we celebrate the arrival of your Son Jesus and the peace he brings to all believers. And now we return a portion of our material blessings to you. Bless each gift and use it in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be reading from Luke chapter 3. Be reading the first 6 verses or so. I invite you to take your Bible out, read with us from Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Your Bible may have the subheading there, John the Baptist prepares the way. So indeed, we're going to be speaking a little bit about John the Baptist, and we'll read together beginning in verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. May God bless the reading of His Word. We've all heard that. We've heard this passage many times. He has come to preach good news, to give news of something good that's coming. I don't know about you, but just about every morning when I turn on my computer, there I have it across the front of my screen, headline news, all the news that's fit for the day. And as the saying goes, and much that is not fit. I can get up in the mornings and see that. Every day, I see the headlines in the newspapers, and much of what I see in the newspaper shadows what I have already seen on the computer. I found out that I can actually have Wake Forest scores sent to my phone and keep me up to date as it happens. Amazing technology. News, we have news. I get in my car and I drive to work, and I hear more news along with weather and traffic. Pay attention to that traffic report. It can save you some time. And then I get to work, and I turn on the computer here. There's more news. Perhaps it's the same. Perhaps there's updates. I may go to the Y and work out in the afternoon, and there'll be a TV there. There'll be breaking news. More news. I go home. I may see the news there. There may be even more news. News everywhere. Everywhere I look, there's bulletins or headlines or banners. There are little pop-up windows that come up to tell me more news. And with really out any effort at all, I can learn about politicians. I can learn about rock stars. I can find out about the crisis of the week for Jessica and whoever she's with that week. I can find out about business moguls. All of this helpful information. I can locate my discourse and I can orient my whole activity for my day based around the frame of reference of what celebrity birthday it is. Or what this day in rock and roll history is all about. Or the soon-to-be-released cinematic features. I can orient my life that way if I choose to. But if I choose to live my life as a political junkie or a rock groupie or a sports fanatic, my life loses significance. My world will increasingly mirror theirs. I'll begin to look like them, talk like them. I'll start to wear clothes that have their name on it. I'll begin to mouth their opinions on food and politics and extraterrestrial life forms and religion and relationships, all of those things. And of course, my own self will begin to wither and eventually die. Luke draws this same frame of reference in verses 1 and 2. Of the third chapter of his gospel. He positions the major players of his day. You've got Herod. Herod was the brutal son of the even more brutal Herod the Great. And he's ruling over Galilee. We have brother Philip, who holds court over 2 lesser regions. Some guy named Lysanias, who is the governor of Abilene. And that's actually the correct pronunciation. It's not like Texas, where it's Abilene. It's Abilene. And collectively, these regions represent pretty much all of the area of influence around the area where Jesus lived. And these were the ordinary peasants of the day. That's where they would have lived. So, of course, we also have the immediate area that we've just referred to. But then there's the bigger picture. There's the overarching picture. The world as they knew it. The whole world. And reigning over that whole world is, of course, Emperor Tiberius. They would have also known that over the religious life of Israel, you had Annas and Caiaphas, who held preeminent power. They were the two priests who presided over the temple in Jerusalem. And as we know, for every good Jew, that was the center of the universe. The center of their religious life was the temple in Jerusalem. So here you have them. You have Tiberius. You have Herod. You have Philip. You have Lysanias. You have Annas and you have Caiaphas. These six people, together with their wives, their children, and as John the Baptist would discover later, their lovers, these people were the players, the movers and shakers of their time. Of course, no one bothered to tell God about this. It seems that God maybe is operating out of the wrong frame of reference, because God had these six significant rulers that he could have used to advance the Word of God. You know, you've got all of these people. Luke knew about them. He gives a description of who they are. He knew about them. There's at least 12 or more palaces where official announcements or pronouncements could have been made. And each of these rulers had massive military might and police presence in all of the regions where they could have enforced the Word of God as official government policy. So what is God thinking? It appears that God has messed up. Not just in terms of who he selected to carry the message. I mean, who is John the Baptist? Who knew this guy? Not only did he mess up with the messenger, he messed up with the place of message. I mean, the wilderness, for heaven's sakes. The wilderness as the first forum for the Word of God? Why didn't we choose Jerusalem or Rome? Oh, there's a lot more exposure there. More people would have heard the Word of God. I'll solve the puzzle. John the Baptist in the wilderness with a rope made out of camel hair. It sounds like a Clue game gone crazy, doesn't it? It really does. It makes absolutely no human sense. And not only did God give a poor point man to launch this campaign and choose a bad place to do it in the desert, but he has a terrible press release. Because the message this guy is proclaiming is repentance, baptism, and personal agency. Man. In a nutshell, that's what God wanted from Israel then. And it's what God wants from us now. You see, God is not at all about to excuse our sordid, messy details and affairs on the basis that we've kind of died to ourselves and kind of given ourselves over to some celebrity. And God is not about to set aside our sins of omission, our sins of commission, on the basis that we've just kind of given up on our own life because we're totally consumed with the loves and the labors and the laughs of politicians and athletes. Even giving up your life for a noted religious figure is not excusable. You see, God gave us life. And God is quite upset that we've squandered it away by handing it over to others. God wants us to step up and to live our lives. You see, that's what personal agency, that's what that term means. I am responsible for me. You are responsible for you. No one else is going to be held accountable for what you do and say except you. No one else can walk side by side with God and be accountable to God except you for your own actions. Living with Him, living out His plan for your life, even as He has created you in His own image. And he walks beside us. And he guides us. And he encourages us as we live the life that he has set forward for us to live. Now, you can shut off the news. You can turn off your computer. You can turn off your cell phone. You can refuse to listen to the radio. You can turn off the appeals of the celebrities, and I highly advise you to do so, and make haste to the River Jordan. You see, only you can walk down into those waters, confess your sin, and place your head in the hands of John the Baptist, and let him plunge you beneath the running waters of God's unending mercy. You see, only you can get serious about living your life for God. This Advent season, let me challenge you to do that. Let me challenge you to take back your life, to prepare for God, and discover what true peace is all about. Now, palaces are unworthy places for a number of reasons. They are unworthy places for announcing this good news of Jesus Christ. Emperors and governors have no credibility to call people to repentance. Their idea of peace is to use force to create a lack of resistance or will. And that's not peace. Celebrities cannot wash us clean. We need ascetics. Not aesthetics, but ascetics. What the church calls the true spiritual athletes. To hear our confession. To cleanse our bodies. To lay balm on our sores and to feed our souls. We need men like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Malachi to turn our hearts back to God. We need men like John who will lead us into the waters of repentance and confession and baptism. And if we know what's good for us this Advent season, we'll kind of cut back on the usual. The usual office festivities, the usual political parties. We'll abandon the Christmas as usual routine and get ourselves down to the nearest river. If we're wise, we'll turn off at times the onslaught of commercialism, even some of the carols that become just a little bit annoying, and pick up a prophet and bow low. In a word, we should begin to take our bodies, our minds, our will, and our souls very seriously. God takes them very seriously. And so should we. John the Baptist said, "Get ready." In verses 4 and 5, he said, "Tear down every obstacle between you and God, or God will tear it down." He said, "Fill in every ditch between you and God, or God will fill it in." He said, "Straighten the blind curves of your attitude and the twisting way of your behavior with other people, or God will straighten you out." He says we need to get work smoothing the way for God to come home, because God is coming home. He's coming home to live in you. And then you see, you can give your life away, but you can give it to Him and to Him alone. That is what he desires. And as odd as the world, as it sounds to the world, this is a message of peace. It is the only message of peace that's suitable. Only when Jesus comes can there be peace. When Jesus comes to live in your heart and live in your mind and totally captivate your heart and your soul, to lead your every thought, to lead your every action, only then will you know what it means to experience peace. Peace as God intended it. That is the only peace. That's the message that John the Baptist was proclaiming. Get ready. Prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, help us to prepare our hearts and our minds, to cleanse us. Father, we pour out all that we are to you. Clean up the dirty spots. Correct the wrong attitudes. Build within us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and build within us a desire to please you and you alone. Father, help us to live in peace with all men. But again, only because you live within us and direct our thoughts and our ways. This morning, Father, we pray that you would prepare us for the coming of the Christ child. Prepare our hearts in such a way that everyone who comes in contact with us will know that indeed we march to the beat of a different drummer. And Father, we pray that you would lead our hearts to other people to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us to rediscover what it means to prepare the way for the Lord in our own life and in the world around us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This is the second Sunday of Advent, and I hope that you are experiencing a time of revival in your own heart as you look forward to the celebration of Christmas. Perhaps you would like to come this morning and say, I'm not sure what that means exactly. I'm not a Christian, and so I need to know more information. I'd be glad to share that with you and tell you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Perhaps you would come this morning and say, you know, I haven't been living my life quite like I should. And I want to get that straight and prepare in my own heart for the coming of Christ child. Perhaps you would be willing to come and pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place and that God would lead and convict as He sees fit and as He directs us to confess to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you would like to be a part of this church fellowship. It's a wonderful group of believers. We celebrate together. We cry together. We worship together. And we pray together, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. There's many ways we receive members. We'd be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is this morning, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Let me ask you if you would please be seated for just a moment. Let me introduce to you the Whitaker family, if you all would just join me up here. Many of you know them, starting on the other end down there. We have Dale and his wife, Annette, and they are coming this morning asking for membership, requesting membership. Dale by transfer of letter from a sister church, and Annette is coming on statement of faith. And if you would pray for them, encourage them, support them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Then we have little Tyler. Hey, buddy. How you doing? And Brandon and Matthew and Haley, and they are coming to stand with their parents this morning to let you know that they are a family, and we're going to continue to love and encourage these children and nurture them in the faith to the point where they come to confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we're excited about that possibility, and I hope that you will be a part of that in praying for them as they grow up in this community of faith. Would you do that?
Amen.
Okay. Would you please join me in standing now for our benediction? And following our benediction, I want to ask if you would to come by and see them and greet a word, speak a word to them and greet them and introduce yourself. And many of you already know them, but if you would come by and greet them at the conclusion of the service. And then come back tonight. Have a wonderful celebration of Christmas here at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and then we invite you to stay for our life service at 7. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, now as we go, help us to go with just an overwhelming sense of your peace, of knowing that you're in control of our lives, and Father, that we're following you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.